Okay. You want to give us a little test run?
Okay, are you gonna sound really fake?
What is it? Poor week of salad, and let's get into it.
All right, we'll give it a shot.
Okay.
Are you, is it already, are we
It's,
recording?
yeah, the lights are. Now we're going to start it. Yes, the things are green. Some things are yellow.
Okay.
Okay,
All
go
right. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Ryan.
The unnecessary podcast is about to start.
Well, now I'm just. I sound fake because I'm reading from your fucking script. I have my phone open. I'm like, okay, here's my line. I say, oh, with a pause because there's a period. Nice. Which one?
Oh, you can ad lib it too. You don't have to say nice. You can say great. Or you
Okay.
could be like,
I'll go with
oh,
great.
nice.
I'll go. Ooh, give it like a little sensual note. Say that for Stephanie's return.
Oh,
We'll
nice.
roll on ours and sound very seductive. All right, go for it.
You ready? To
Yeah.
take two?
Sure.
Are we recording?
Yes, we're fucking recording. I'm not splitting this.
Okay. Okay, now do I want to say like, hey, Jeff, or like, hey, Jeff?
I feel
Which
like
one do you think?
we're introing like a children's daytime cartoon.
Yeah, right?
Hey, kids!
Hey, everybody!
Everyone know what time it
Unnecessary
What's the topic today, Ryan?
time! Oh, you know, friendship.
I don't think we talked about friendship with Patrick.
No, we didn't.
What did we talk about with Patrick?
The Yacht Club
Yeah.
Serial Hobbyist Hot Sauce.
Those three things? In the opposite of that order.
And stuff.
All right. Yeah, we touched on
But I don't
stuff.
want
Well,
it. Right?
pour me a salad and let's get into it.
It's unnecessary.
Yeah, necessary.
Unnecessary. It's unnecessary. It's unnecessary. Necessary. Otherwise, you're gonna. Well, you can hear you in your ears, right?
Yeah.
It's funny, like 5 minutes ago, Ryan, being a considerate person, said, "Do I have to worry about any triggers for this guy?" And I was about to tell him the story how the other day we were having this debate. There's this, I won't tell you where this debate came from, but we went down this road of would you rather suck a strap on or get fucked by a strap on?
Okay, is it a new strap-on or a used strap-on?
Oh,
Would that change your answer?
that is a new element to this.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because I mean,
New, out of the box.
new out of the box?
Yeah.
Like, when is it determined that I'm done sucking on the strap-on? Like, until it comes to fruition? Like, it's
Well, it
never gonna
won't.
happen. I just have to be super erotic about it.
Let's 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'll put a piece of plastic in my mouth for 5 minutes before I put a piece of plastic in my butt.
Okay, now since you asked,
Used?
what if it's
Now I don't
really
know.
used, has
Who
like
was
the
it?
crust of an old garden hose
Yeah,
nozzle?
who was it used on? Like, there's a
You don't
lot.
know.
Oh
You
man,
don't know.
I now that's the real question, and I choose death.
Oh my God. Wild card. Okay, now it's a real dick. And it's to completion.
I still choose death.
Well, if that's not an
Really?
option.
Dude, I don't know. I don't.
Why do you choose death over?
I don't know. I guess
Yeah,
I
that's a
would.
bad answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I would.
I'd suck 100 dicks before I choose death.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I think I would have a fruition to penis in my mouth before I put something in my butt. It just seems less uncomfortable. Mouth stuff over butt stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
I agree.
Even though it's to completion?
Well, I mean, you didn't specify whether I had to spit or swallow.
Yeah, you have to swallow.
Oh, I do?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm totally sucking a dick.
Yeah,
You made it
absolutely
sound like
agree.
that's a plus.
Well, who says it's not? Clip that. We're not recording, are we? We're totally
We're
recording.
recording.
Of course we are. Of course we are.
So, all that to say, no, you don't have to worry about triggering Patrick because we've had a lot of odd conversations.
The real reason why I was asking that is so that I can bring something up that would trigger him.
Oh.
I wasn't being considerate. I was being rude.
Maybe I shouldn't speak for you. Do you have any triggers, Patrick? besides the sight of alcohol at 9 in the morning, you were very offended by our array.
No, no, I just was
you were
not,
like, really?
I was not anticipating it.
Starting early.
You know what? I just came from a yoga class. It was my first...
Oh, so this is like the opposite. First yoga
class. Yeah, first yoga class pretty much ever. At least the first yoga class that I finished. And coming in here and like just seeing an entire pool table covered in alcohol is not what I was mentally prepared for.
Yeah, you have a morning of juxtapositions as well as yoga positions.
Yes.
Okay. But you're not against it, right? You're really getting your yang now.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You yinned so hard earlier.
I'm feeling, yes.
Yeah. He yinned to completion.
And now you can yang.
But I guess back to triggers. I don't know if there's... I guess, like, how would you define, like, a trigger? Like, I mean, I don't think there's anything that I wouldn't feel uncomfortable talking about, but I mean,
I think that's because you're an intelligent person. I think the modern definition of a trigger is you broach a topic that I have a visceral emotional reaction and I haven't built up the mental framework or given it the proper time to think that I can have a decent conversation over it, so I'm just gonna freak out, basically.
Yeah.
Damn,
yeah.
That was a lot of words. I was gonna say, you're like, you know, a gun, like when you pull the trigger, it explodes.
Yeah. Yeah,
so,
no.
Yeah, there's nothing that'll make
guns
you explode.
The gun explodes when you pull
the gunpowder explodes.
I think you've been using guns wrong.
Well, that's why I have no fingers. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, any intelligent person, no topic is taboo.
Yeah.
And even if it is to them, they'd be like, hey, you know what? I'm just not comfortable talking about that. Like, they wouldn't go off on the matter. It wouldn't make them, like, you know, overreact emotionally, is that how you put it? They would just be like, oh, you know what? I'm really not comfortable talking about that. An intelligent person would, anyway.
Right.
I don't know about Patrick.
He's smartish?
Smartish?
Yeah, I would say smartish. I also don't think I'd participate in a conversation that I wasn't entirely comfortable giving, like, factual, I guess, evidence behind anything I was going to say.
There you go. Yeah.
So, yeah, I might just sit here and listen, but... Yeah, I don't think you're ever going to get me to just lose my fucking mind. And just like,
I think that's the other problem with trigger people is that they're indoctrinated in an environment that everything is very binary.
Yeah, and they don't... everything is a spectrum, and for the most part.
It is, yeah.
But not to trigger people.
No.
They're either all gas or all
break.
Yes,
you're right.
Yeah.
So let's...
Right? That's what you were saying?
Yeah, they never like dive into the nuance and the gray area.
Speaking of diving in, thank you for listening to another unnecessary episode. We got Patrick over here. Did I do my job now?
I guess technically.
Cool.
Did your host things.
Yeah. I'm off the hook. I'm done for the day.
Does that mean you're going to ask him the questionnaire?
Well, sure. I can ask him the questionnaire. I guess I am the host.
Where did this questionnaire come from?
Our brains.
We thought we needed a way to like warm people up a little bit.
Okay. Also, I want the listeners to know a little bit about like who you are and identify with you a little bit instead of just like, oh, hey, here's a random person named Patrick. Let's listen to his bullshit opinion.
He preferred to suck the dick.
Oh, good to know.
I did. Yes. I did. No butt stuff.
Yeah, I just think like
I love it. You gave that like that grimace and head shake. Like, we're not going back there.
Yeah, let's not do that again. Right, okay.
Well, proceed, host.
Patrick, I got a couple questions for you.
Okay.
You know Jeff. I'm Ryan. That's Patrick. What was your favorite TV show growing up, Patrick?
Oh. I feel like I'm going to give, like, a very, like, old person, like, response to this. And, like, I watched pretty much, like, History Channel just all day. Like, it didn't matter what it was. But I guess, like, like really young childhood, maybe, like, Ren and Stimpy was... something I probably watched a lot of.
Hell yeah.
And why we get along? It's
even, yeah.
He appreciates history and vulgar cartoons.
That's perfect.
We're in.
But, like, yeah, I don't think I could give you a normal... Like, Ren and Stimpy would probably be, like, the closest thing I'd say to, like, a cartoon or something, like, growing up watching.
That's a perfect answer.
I love it.
Yeah, it was way better than Kyle's. Shout out to my roommate.
I love how opposite those... two endeavors are. Like, one is purely educational and the other is the antithesis.
Vulgar?
The first cartoon butt cracks any of us have seen.
You know, like Rocco's Modern Life. I would say those would be my two.
He was a sex phone operator. Rocco?
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that since for what, 15 years?
I don't even know what this is.
Rocco's Modern Life?
Yeah.
What? Really?
It was great.
Well, remember, I didn't have
Oh, that's right.
I had rabbit ear TV when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Was it on the special channels?
It was on a channel you definitely had to pay for.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a Nickelodeon show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
God damn it. Here we are again.
He was a saxophone operator, but it was never acknowledged. He just went to work. And there are a couple, if you Google it, there are a couple frames where, like, there's a poster in the back of his office and it says, be polite, be sexy, keep them on the line. And it's like,
I don't remember. See, I remember the setting of him being at like a radio console or something along those lines, but I don't remember, I guess, that level of detail.
It was basically, you know, 20 years early SpongeBob.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Ren and Stimpy is kind of that too, right? At least the animation style is the same. Like, really graphic eyeballs and...
Yeah, I could see that.
It would be the same graphic style, yeah.
Okay, Patrick. If animals could talk, which dick would you suck?
No, what? That's not the question.
which animal would be the rudest, in your humble opinion?
That's a good question.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, no one appreciated that question. I thought it was great.
I guess, it's hard to give I haven't really met, I guess, all animals, but I guess the one that I've had an encounter with that was pretty, pretty rude was a pheasant during mating season in Yellowstone.
They get grumpy.
It fucking ran me and my wife down for like a good like quarter of a mile.
How big is a pheasant?
I don't know, like larger than a football,
but smaller than a turkey, right?
Yes, yes,
like a big.
But
chicken?
They're fast. They're like a tiny velociraptor. Yeah,
that sounds horrifying.
It was hilarious because it came out of the like bushes and just kind of like made this like just little chirp, and then it just started like squawking at us, and just it went from this very like upright, like full-breasted position to like a very like horizontal to the ground position, sprinting at us.
Just squawking. Now you fucked up.
Yeah, right. Roadrunner-ish, I imagine, right?
Yes, yeah, exactly, exactly.
And you guys turned and run?
Yeah.
And ran?
Yeah.
She just kicked it.
Yeah, it's a football.
True.
Yeah.
I actually don't know why that was our reaction to it. We have it all on GoPro footage. Like, awesome. I was just kind of like walking around with it, and I turned it on as this like bird approached us, and...
You said it was in Yellowstone?
In Yellowstone.
You're probably getting a lot of trouble for kicking a pheasant.
That's probably true.
They frown upon kicking the wildlife.
Yeah. There's signs.
Don't kick the wildlife. Yeah. This means you, Patrick.
Specifically. All right, one more. Jeff, you got one off of here that you want to hear?
Wait, how did you guys come up with that question?
Jeff.
Sometimes I just think of things.
Okay.
I don't know.
What would be your guys' answer? Have you guys...
I love that you're doing that right now.
Yeah.
Oh. Go ahead, Ryan. Let's hear your answer that I disagree with.
I already forgot what I said.
You said pig.
But I said something else first.
Pigs are pretty sweet.
Yeah, but
until
pigs are,
we
see,
cut
there's
their
different,
throats and...
There's different... Here we are. Back to the world isn't binary. There's different definitions of rudeness, right? And I feel like the table manners of a pig would be poor.
But they definitely have a heart of gold.
Pork.
Pork.
I love it! But they would be nice people, right?
Okay, what about a llama? Llamas are just...
Yeah, I could agree with that.
Yeah, llamas are very condescending.
Yeah. And like,
when they spit and stuff,
yeah,
right?
If you do anything But, I mean, what does this have to do with their voice? I think also a llama would be like a tall British... sir, I don't think that you are even worthy to be sitting at this table. Patwee!
Yeah, so we have to link, if they could talk, who would be the rudest? That means who would be the most verbally rude,
right?
I would think.
Just audibly rude.
Yeah, so Patrick had a good one. That sounds like a very get-off-my-lawn situation.
Hey, get the fuck out of here!
Yeah, he's probably yelling racial slurs. You know, whatever the birds call the humans. Whatever pejorative that is.
You flat foot! Flat foot. He's got a wife in the bush. Don't use the F word!
Flat foot?
Flat foot, yeah.
And Jeff?
Oh, mine was raccoons.
Really? Well, I mean, I could see them being like the like sly like.
See, he
like
thought they were
drug,
sneaky too.
And
yeah,
like
they would
drug
talk.
Dealer,
yeah, they would talk shit behind your back.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
It's the opposite. Brian, we grew up in the same neighborhood, so it's weird that we have different opinions of this. But in my world, raccoons were very opposite of sneaky. They just walk around doing whatever the fuck they want. They waddle in the open. They like get into your trash cans, and when you go out to shoo them away, like what? Like fuck you! This is my trash can. Get out of here! And they hiss at you and stand their ground.
Yeah, yeah. Well, two
you
blocks
never
over,
scare one away.
Two blocks over, we had more coyotes, so we had very few raccoons.
Gotcha.
You dropped a screw.
Thank you.
Want a screw?
Yeah. So to me, that's what verbally rude would be. It's an animal that just like stands there and looks at you, digs in its heels, and just hisses.
What about like a seagull? They're like,
that's
I mean, and let's
are.
Get away from Finding Nemo. It's not all mine. But what if it was all just like...
I don't think that's rudeness. That's more of like the...
Jerk!
Unparented four-year-old in a Red Robin kind of...
But they're like coming over like, give me your food.
That's
and then
what
you
I mean.
Shoo them away,
it's
they
it's
back
that
up.
Four-year-old just spins around in the booth and is just looking at you for like 20 minutes. The parents are doing nothing about it. Yeah. It's like playing the drums on your side of the booth.
Pretty rude.
Yeah, but I'm trying to like attribute malice to it. It's just a dumbass kid. It's not his fault.
I mean, it's still rude.
It is. You're right. You're
I mean,
right.
You don't have to be malicious to be rude.
Okay.
Sometimes the
fine, Ryan. Fine.
Sometimes
seagulls
the nicest person
too.
Is rude.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I guess seagulls do like just kind of come up on you on the beach and just start pecking away at your food if you're not like if you're
met,
not watching it.
If you're not consciously like yeah. keeping them at bay, they will come
even
in and take
you
your food. Yeah.
I met one of the most alpha seals to ever.
A seal? I think they're
seagull.
Polite.
Sorry,
oh, seagull.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not sure if I know what that is.
You're almost ready for another salad.
I've had a lot of salads. One of the most alpha seagulls, thank you for correcting me, to have ever flapped the earth at SeaWorld San Diego.
Oh, they're the worst there.
I had a churro, which I was very excited about. I had really earned this churro. I was like 7, and I had been a good boy all day.
Good.
And earned the churro.
God, paint the scene with
and
your words.
And this motherfucker came flying in, turned... 90 degrees, he's flying sideways, and snatched it right out of my hand.
That wasn't his first rodeo. He
no.
knew exactly
no,
what
this
to
is
do.
A, this that... is a planned, well-trained, well-executed maneuver that surely he has done in the past.
Okay, but now a question of logistics. Did he give you his ass or his balls when he flew by? Because he was...
No, like
he
those
was...
are both on the same side of the bird. It was his back.
His back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Does that make any difference?
Well,
does that mean like...
Yeah.
Yeah, the rookie seagulls do it the other way, and they expose
their genitalia
parts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All
right.
You gotta keep the jewels away in case somebody moves, and they don't get churroed off.
And then he couldn't fly with the thing.
So he was just like,
I was ready
you
to
with
chase
it?
After this idiot. My mom said no. She held me back.
What would you have done if you had caught it? As a 7-year-old Jeff, he probably would have dropped the churro, flew away. Would you still have eaten the churro?
I think I could put his wing in like a pretty solid triangle. Until he dropped my churro, choked that little idiot out.
Yeah.
And then I would, you know, point to his little beak and say, you remember me.
Did you guys ever do the thing on the beach?
Remember me forever.
To try to catch seals where you have, like...
You lay on a towel?
You lay on a
towel.
On top
of you?
Like,
yes.
Yeah, you kind of bury your friend, and then you just break open, like, an entire bag of, like, Doritos
yep.
over the... Yeah. Any success with doing this?
We were able to, like, get a hold of one for a second, but they're pretty squirmy.
Definitely caught one growing up, and that, like, it hit the moment, like, we caught it, but then it was like,
that one.
Well, now what the fuck
we didn't expect to succeed.
Yeah, exactly. As like a 12-year-old, yeah.
Did you catch the premise here, Ryan? You know how we
were going
about this?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, well, I don't know if anyone...
I never did it with the towel.
Anyone at home, you bury yourself,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
You, like, make a little trench, and then... Like a snow angel kind of trench. So you have room for your arms, and you put towels over the arms of the person, so like lengthwise, perpendicular to them, and lay out like some Doritos or whatever
yeah.
snacks you got, and the bird lands, and then it's like a bear trap.
Yeah.
Then you
exactly.
strike. Yeah, never worked for us, but you did it.
Yeah, and you like smother the seagull in this towel, and you're just kind of like holding a football.
Yeah.
A football of a seagull, and then you're... You don't know what
yeah,
to do
and then you have a seagull and a towel.
Congratulations.
Exactly. Yeah, but like, woo. What's the next step with that? I'm not going to eat that.
We never did it with a towel. We would just like bury ourselves, just cover ourselves in sand just enough. And so like our face was barely peeking out.
It's weird.
And so like we
Is
could
Is it because
see.
You just didn't have towels? Or
No, we had towels, but we just didn't think of catching the seagull in a towel like a net.
Like a sandy Teletubby,
yeah,
just a face showing.
Yeah, but we would just like lay there with our hand out. With the Doritos would be like right above our hand. And then as soon as the seagull would, like, land on our hand, we'd just grab it by the foot.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And then we had, like, a seagull kite for a couple seconds. And that was our entertainment.
And that worked?
It wasn't like, what do I do with the seagull now? It's like
now I can jump higher than ever before.
How long can I hold this seagull? And
and we would compare.
I'll tell you one thing we used to do is my neighbor had chickens, and we would play catch with them. You could throw them like a football, and they kind of just float to the ground, you know? So you could huck these fuckers like 40 yards.
Really?
Yeah.
That far?
Well, not on your own. Like, it's not just because you threw it so hard, but you give it a good toss, and then they float in that direction, you know? So it kind of coasts a bit.
Like a lower gravity football.
Yeah, it's like throwing a frisbee. Huh. You know, it kind of floats down a bit. Yeah, so that was great fun.
Nice.
They loved it.
Patrick, do you have a claim to fame? Like, why are you here?
I don't know. I don't think I have a claim to... I'm sure Jeff has built something up to make it seem like I have a claim to fame.
Let the jury know that this is not a leading question.
I would say I am a serial hobbyist. That is what I would say my claim to fame is. I like...
Fruit Loops.
Yes.
Fruity Pebbles.
Yes, yes.
Apple Jacks.
Yeah.
Pops.
And then I incorporate all those things into my hobbies.
You just got model trains everywhere, just made out of Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
is that what you think of when you think of someone that's a serial hobbyist? It's just some. I mean, you don't. You have a garage that doesn't have like an entire like ornate, you know, railroad system. That's kind of.
Well, I'm not a serial hobbyist.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I were, I would have a train system of Cinnamon Toast Crunch trains. Maybe throw in a Rice Krispie treat.
Those sound delicious.
Oh my.
I want that now.
I would run a train on some cereal.
Yeah, but I guess...
So that's your claim to fame? You're known by
I guess that's what I would say I'm known for. Okay.
You're a hobbyist.
A hobbyist. Man.
All right, what are some of your hobbies?
Carpentry is a good one.
You play with wood?
Yeah, I play with wood. I play with my wood.
What's the coolest thing you've made?
The coolest thing I've made? I've made a... I guess a bunny hutch that I've kind of, it's like this like mid-century modern looking credenza that is, yeah, I guess it's a bunny hutch. And it has like this like drawbridge that allows our rabbits to kind of run up in there. And it's the litter box. And it's also our TV stand. So like you're watching our two rabbits just hang out, just laying in there while the TV's above it.
Well,
so
that's neat.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. I would say that's, and I made a surfboard. I would say that those are probably my two like favorite projects.
What kind of wood did you use for the surfboard?
For the surfboard, it was a mixture of pine and walnut.
Are they more buoyant? Or are they lighter?
It's not a normal surfboard in that, like, you know, when you buy a surfboard nowadays, it's all foam and fiberglass.
Right.
This was sort of, I guess, the closest thing I can compare it to is like building like an airplane wing. So it's like a bunch of cross members. It's hollow inside.
Oh.
And then you lay these planks that kind of seal this frame, this framework. So
is that a more traditional way before we had,
it's an old, yeah, it's an older way. Yes.
That's do you surf on it?
That was the gift I gave my, father-in-law.
Oh
yeah. As kind of like our, I guess kind of wedding gift for holding our wedding at his house. So,
oh, nice. like a thank you.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Has he surfed on it?
No, he made it a wall hanger. He didn't.
Oh, really, that's
use it.
That's really cool. What he said was, "Your surfboard sucks. I'm going to put it on the wall instead of putting it in the water."
Yeah. other hobbies. I make hot sauce. That's another little hobby.
He's getting some bottled soon at a restaurant.
Oh, yeah. What? You're commercializing.
Someone's commercializing on his behalf.
Yes, someone's commercializing on my behalf.
But it's your product that's being put into a restaurant.
Correct. Yeah.
Where can I get a bottle of this?
At a restaurant by the name of Beach Fire in San Clemente.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go to San Clemente and steal a bottle of your... I know the guy that made this. I'm taking this home. He was on the podcast.
Yeah. He'd rather suck the dick.
Oh, shit. Oh, man. I'm going to have to remember that. Oh, God.
You're going to be... somebody's going to come up to you and be like, hey, so this weirdo came in, said you were on a podcast and you wanted to suck his dick. He stole our hot sauce. Can we get another bottle?
I actually don't know if I should have used the name of the restaurant in this. I feel...
No, that's really cool. I don't have anything that's ever been like commercially brought out.
Yeah, it's pretty badass.
Especially
when no one even asks for it.
Like, well,
you didn't do this.
He just forced the hot
sauce.
You take my hot sauce.
Yeah, you didn't do this on your own. Someone like, oh, I guess the opposite way. I said someone did ask for it. Someone came to you. It was like, dude, your shit's really good. Let me just, you know, put it in my restaurant.
Sure.
But But you put it out there first. It wasn't like somebody's like, in search of new hot sauce.
I feel like I'm talking about my wedding a little bit too much too early on in this, but for our wedding gift, I made hot sauce as our, what is it called? The thing that you give like to people for coming
gift.
Through. No, but there's an actual term for that.
Like, what?
No. There's an actual term for it.
Yeah, I don't know.
There is.
I mean,
whatever. Okay, you guys get the point.
Wait,
it's a gift.
You gave it to all of your guests?
All of the guests, yes.
Yeah, there's
for coming.
There's supposed to be like one in every place setting.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I made hot sauce. And this jar of hot sauce happened to make it to the owner of this restaurant, and he really liked it. And for months, wanted me to make hot sauce, or like kept on talking about it, like going into like mass production. And I was just like, I don't have any interest. I like making hot sauce for me and my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, he's just like, if you make me hot sauce, I will bottle it and I will get it to people. And I was just like, all right, if I'm literally just like giving you like this empty gallon, like milk carton of hot sauce, and you're bottling it for me and you're doing all the things I have no interest in doing, then
sounds like
sure.
A win-win.
Sure. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, was this guy a guest at your wedding, or was like somebody got it to him via like, hey, you like hot sauce, taste this. And like 3 degrees of separation from wedding to.
No, I think he was at the wedding. I think he actually was at the wedding.
You don't remember?
I don't
who was
remember.
At your wedding?
I actually don't remember. I don't remember if he was there.
Are you recently married? Is that why it's like super fresh in your head, or is it just because we're talking about?
I've only been married for about a year and a half.
Oh, so it's not too late.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
For what?
To not be married. You can still get it annulled.
Wait, when you can always do that.
Isn't that? At like 18 months?
Yeah.
Oh, there is a cutoff?
Yeah.
Then you can't annul it. Then you have to get divorced.
Shit, I'm past that.
Are you?
I think you're right. I think it is 18.
It's 2 years Monday.
Yep.
Fuck me.
Well, I
think you know that off the top of your head.
Well, it's coming.
You know, like the six month anniversary?
No, it's coming up on Monday.
2 years.
Oh, 2 years. Oh, okay. That's good. I guess it's a good thing you know that.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty bad at your 2 year anniversary. She shows up in lingerie and you're like, what's going on?
And Jeff would just think it's a normal Monday night.
Yeah. Oh, it's Monday. my day's Thursday.
That's your day?
Yeah.
It's when you're allowed in?
Well, I'm allowed in whenever I want, but that's when it's like presented.
It's not locked.
Yeah. I don't have to ask for it on Thursdays.
I want to have Bliss on the podcast one time.
We could have Bliss on the podcast.
I have to set up another thing. It'll be a whole deal.
I mean, we don't have to. We could just kick Patrick out.
That's true.
You want me to just wrap this up?
What would you guys say is what you're known for?
I'm on this unnecessary.
You're on this podcast.
Yeah, I'm on this podcast.
This no single episode for this has been released at the time of this recording, so that's not true.
Oh,
yeah,
that's true. Yeah, that's
but
true.
By the time this is released,
like removing yourself from this podcast.
Yeah. I don't know, Jeff. Do you have one? I have to think. I don't. What am I famous for?
I'm not. I was known by a lot of people for being really fucking good at video games for a long time. Most of my social circle is built around that. My close circle of friends is my old team. The story that like encapsulates that the best is I came up to San Clemente to meet some of my teammates one time, and then
did you have uniforms?
No.
What made you guys a team other than just playing?
We played together.
Yeah, but like,
well, together everybody achieves more.
This was long before like esports were so formalized.
Okay,
but it was like a tertiary friend of a friend of a friend, and he heard my friend call me by my game name, and then he said, "You're the favor."
What does that mean? I'm so far removed from the like video game world. Favor mean? Is that like your nickname? Or
Faber, right? With the B.
Faber was my game name. Yeah, and I was one of the best in the world at a couple video games.
Tic-tac-toe, Donkey Kong.
Yeah, it was Jedi Knight 2. I was one of the maybe like top 10 people in the world, and then
but there were like 14 people playing it. So.
No, there were a lot. Thousands of people were playing that.
How do you get better at video games? I'm curious. Other than like playing a lot of video games, can you go out with an objective for the day to get better at a certain skill?
Yeah. So we used to work on. I mean, it's just like how you get good at anything. You break it down into its most fundamental pieces,
sure.
And you repeat that. You know, like Kobe used to throw like 600 free throws a day. You know, shit like that. So for like Jedi Knight 2, there was this one technique of swinging the saber that would give it a longer hit range. And we called it extended saber. And it was this combination of sidestepping that would manifest in the saber making like a check mark kind of swing path. And you could verify that you're doing it by swinging at a wall and seeing like the light trail of the lightsaber.
Oh, so you were legitimately like running drills.
So we were, yeah, we would do shit like that to like perfect these minor techniques and things. It's just like,
see, I would never guess
else.
That. Yeah. I would just guess that you just keep playing it until it becomes like.
No, I mean, it's a good way for a while, but when you get into the upper echelons of any endeavor, then it comes down to that. You have to identify what are the core components, what are the fundamentals, and then perfect those. And once you have a firm command of the rules, then you can break the rules.
Or bend them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just like anything.
I acted a little in high school, but it was like, it got...
I did not know that.
Yeah. I was like, I was Danny Zuko in San Marcos's Grease. I was Joseph in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat at Moonlight. So like... in that very specific like niche, like people are like, oh yeah, you were in that. You were in that. I was a couple of like a headlining name for, but it was like from 16 to 18. But that was about as famous as I got. And, I mean, unless you consider, DJing, like I don't think so. I got like, I DJ at night, but it's, I don't think it's anything special.
Jeff, do you shake your head because you don't think he's a good DJ? Or
I've never seen him DJ, but that's not a claim to fame.
Yeah, no.
What?
Well,
I got an award.
I do think
DJing is a little bit more difficult than just putting in a CD and pressing play.
Nope, that's all it is. No,
that really is all it is.
No, but
you set up
you
a playlist and hit play.
Yeah, but I think there is. You have to have some sort of sense for what's going on. In terms of creating a good playlist, you can't just like,
feel the vibe. Yeah. But I mean, unless I'm actually like in the mix, as we say in the industry, unless I'm actually like matching my BPMs and like hitting the hard spots and getting my turnarounds, like I'm not doing anything besides playing a playlist. But I did, like, 5 or 6 years ago, I was the number 3 DJ in North County.
There you go.
Yeah, I was put in the paper.
Out of 4.
Out of 4.
Is this based on Yelp ratings?
No, like, Escondido, it wasn't the paper, but it was, like, the Escondido magazine went through and, like, was checking out all the dives. And, like, they're like, hey, come. They looked at the following. They looked at how much revenue the bar was making. And there was one other thing, like how many people were there.
How turnt the crowd would get.
Yeah. They were lit, fam.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
At what point did you get into this?
This is almost 11 years ago, 12 years ago now.
Yeah, but how did you decide? Like, were you doing things prior to that? Or was it just that, like, you saw, like, DJing and be like, I could do that?
Well, I've always been super musical. I play way too many instruments. And like I said, I was in musicals and choir and shit in high school. And one day I was doing homework at a fucking dive bar on a Sunday night. Yeah, I know. Okay. Super, super cool. And there was karaoke going on. And the DJ came up and he's like, well, why are you doing homework? Like, turn off your computer. Handed me a shot of Patron. He's like, quit being lame and come hang out with the people. I was like, oh. Okay, there was probably like 30 people there.
Put away your Scholastics and pick up some alcohol.
Yeah.
Life advice.
And so he goes, here, sing a song. I bought you a shot. At least sing a karaoke song. I was like, okay. And so I think I sang Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror. And when I finished, he goes, hey, do you want a job? I was like, what? He goes, yeah, I need another DJ. I've got a new show coming up in like, you know, next town over in Poway. It's like, okay, I mean, I'll come check it out. I don't want to sign any contracts or anything. He's like, yeah, no, come see if you like it. If I'll pay you for the night. If you don't like it, no hard feelings. If you like it, that'll be your gig. And so I went there on a Wednesday, the next Wednesday night, and he sat me down. He's like, okay, so here's how the controls work. Here's your volumes.
Here's the play button on the CD.
Yeah, basically. And why don't you go ahead and give me a little spiel on the microphone? And I was like, okay. I didn't know what I was doing. I was like, hey, everybody.
we're doing karaoke. If you want to sing anything, come talk to me. And he's like,
please.
Yeah. And he goes, perfect. I got to go. And he left.
Really? Yeah, a good karaoke DJ organizer, whatever, they make or break a bar.
Yeah.
You have to encourage people.
Yeah.
So that's how I started. It was just karaoke. It was once a week on Wednesday nights. And then, I came out to one of his Friday night shows. The guy that hired me, his name's TJ. And so TJ's like, hey, you think you can mix like this? I was like, I think I can mix better than what you're doing. And I had no idea what I was saying. He goes, all right, let's see what you got.
I hit skip on the bad song of the CD.
Yeah. And so I jumped in and like I didn't do bad. He's like, okay, well, we can sculpt you. And that was 11 years ago, 12 years ago.
Are you still doing this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I've got shows 2-3 times a week.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So, and people, like, I've been walking down the mall, and so I guess this is my claim to fame.
All right.
I've been walking down the mall, and somebody, like, across the, you know, we're on the second floor, and there's a big gap.
I know that guy.
They're like, entertainer! Hey! I go, oh, hey! My dad's like, who's that? I was like, I have no idea. So I guess that's my claim to fame, not acting.
Yeah.
I didn't think that through.
Well, now you did.
Cool. I never have to answer that question again.
We're not used to answering the questionnaire.
Yeah.
Really turned the tables on us.
Sorry.
You're probably you're our second best guest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other one.
Who's our best guest?
This is like
a stripper?
Yeah. Stephanie was better so far.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But, well, I mean, the jury's still
sorry.
Out.
I'm
definitely better than Kyle.
Yeah, shout out Kyle. Disaster. He's going to listen to all these.
Good.
Yeah. He might just come in and invade.
Is he here?
Yeah, he's here.
Thanks. Well, like, I think Patrick's claim to fame is introducing everybody to the yacht club.
Yeah, see, I was gonna ask the question of what did Jeff tell you is my claim to fame?
I didn't tell him anything.
That was not a primed question.
Okay. Yeah. And I would, if I were to answer that question, what would Jeff say my claim to fame is?
Yeah, okay, that's a
it
good
would
question
be that.
Too.
Yeah, it would be being a member of a yacht club,
oh,
which
great.
Is the worst thing to come out of my mouth is that I am a member. No,
it's the whitest
thing I could possibly say. That is something that like I despise.
Yeah, but it's so far in that direction that it becomes ironic. You know,
hopefully. Yeah, you're right. I like it out of the irony of it. Yes,
yeah.
I make a total mockery of it. Yes,
but in actuality, like if people understood, so the yacht club we're talking about is the Dana Point Yacht Club.
And
what? What, you're going to revoke
well, just
your membership?
Like, you're just narrowing. Someone's going to find me. Someone's going
to
figure it out.
They're just going to ask for some hot sauce and for you to
yeah,
suck
exactly.
a dick.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to figure out who the hot sauce guy is at
how many people
Beach Fire
this?
And San Clemente. And then you're going to go to the yacht club and say, who's this dickhead that's talking shit on this podcast?
No, dick sucker.
Yeah,
dick sucker.
Anyway, the Dana Point Yacht Club is not what you think of when you think of yacht club. You
think I imagine of like, Skipper from Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, he could be fine
there.
Yeah, he would fit in very well there.
So it is what you imagine.
Maybe what you imagine.
Continue with that.
I don't know. Just a bunch of guys in blazers and captain's hats sitting around drinking,
no,
smoking cigars.
No, I guess
I
would think of him more as the captain that's stuck on a desert island. Like,
and then 40 years later,
yeah,
like, just grizzled and weathered.
Yes, yeah. that envision of him. Yes.
Yeah, very like lobster and blistered skin kind of folks.
Yeah,
some gentlemen that are more walrus than man,
real middle of the earth people.
Yeah,
middle of the ocean people.
It's more like a nautical elks club.
Yes, that is very accurate,
and it's amazing.
Can you, for our listeners, describe an elks club?
An elks club is
it's
where
like it's a moose lodge.
It's a social.
It's,
club,
it's
right?
where an elderly biker would go to get a cool draft beer for $2 at 9:40 in the morning.
Do they have to be a biker?
No. I'm painting a picture here.
Okay,
but the overall objective of it is it's just a social club, right?
Yeah,
and like
a
it
lot
just
of
happens
with...
to have a drinking element to it, and it's the same thing with like the yacht club. It's like there's just a nautical theme to this like social event.
Do you have to have a yacht?
No.
Well, you have to have a vessel or be in the market.
You have to be in the market, yes.
Isn't everybody in the market?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Is a canoe a vessel?
It is a vessel. I mean, at least to me. So I also, I guess back to the question of hobbies, I paddle outrigger canoe.
Outrigger. Yeah. Please be respectful.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
That's
no,
their
no hard R's.
No hard R's.
No hard R's.
Jeez.
Oh, rigor.
So,
only a rigger can call another rigger.
So I also paddle for the Dana Point Outrigger Canoe Club. So if you need to track me down there, that's your next next place.
Look in the ocean.
The red strings are all just like converging right now.
Yes.
On our bulletin boards.
All you need
it's
is my last
Patrick.
Name. Yeah. But yeah, that's I guess that is my quote unquote vessel that I store in their little like dry dock area.
It's more of a dungeon.
Yes, dungeon. Yes, it is. It's actually a garage, but
it's a dungeon.
So is this studio? I mean,
sure. Yeah, it could. Yeah, it's a studio. Yeah, if you look at it, it's a boat.
Could
studio.
A boogie board be a vessel? Like
hey,
I ride
you know
it
what?
In the ocean.
I would argue that because stand up boards are I think considered a vessel too.
Oh, like a paddleboard?
Yeah.
I think for it to be a vessel, you have to be able to be on it and not wet.
Yeah.
Okay. So a paddleboard.
That's my definition that I invented just now.
Do you think?
I think it's a good definition though.
So you know you can get like a DUI drinking on a boat, right?
Yeah.
Can you get a DUI being blackout trashed on a stand-up paddleboard?
Well, if you're blackout trash, I doubt you can be on a stand-up.
Yeah.
Paddleboard.
Well, no, I know. Yeah. But I mean,
if you could pull it off, I doubt anybody, any of the Coast Guard would be like, "Hey, that guy's drunk," because. Obviously, you're not if you're standing
we
up.
We see people sitting on those and paddling.
Oh, yeah. Or kneeling, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do that.
But, I mean, if you're that drunk, I don't think you could operate a paddleboard.
Yeah, this is self-filtering.
I'm not saying you are operating it. I'm just saying if
you're
like,
just
you were
on it?
Laying on it and you were just trashed.
Oh.
Like, can...
I don't
like,
know about a DUI, but maybe a DIP.
What's a DIP?
A drunk in public.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Go for a dip.
Sorry, what was the...
Cricket?
How are we relating this back? I know that
vessels to
vessels,
your yacht
oh, to
club.
Yacht club. Oh, yeah, because the question was, do you need a vessel?
Yeah, they say, like, on the application, like, do you have a vessel or are you in the market, right?
Correct. Yes, they do. But
and do they just, like, automatically decline people who say, like, no to both? Like, if I was honest and said, like, I'm just here for the mediocre hot wings and $3 beers.
And camaraderie.
And the camaraderie, of course. And to make fun of your patrons.
Yes.
Would I be allowed in? They'd probably vote no on me, I would think.
Wait, there's a voting process?
Oh, there's a whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Let's answer this first, and we'll get into that.
So you submit an application, and then you have their entire like board, which is, I'm sure, Jeff's favorite facts is there's this person called a Commodore, which I guess is like the... Like,
he smokes cigars all the time.
Yes.
Oh, God. No, he doesn't.
Yes.
Fine,
yeah, sure.
Mahogany
it's actually,
pipes.
Actually, you know, it's very sexist for you to think it's a him. It's actually a female.
Oh.
Yours is? What?
Sorry.
She's, yeah,
sorry.
Yes.
Really?
She smokes pipes all the time. Is that better?
God.
No. Is that better?
Not,
she's just got her mouth full of pipe all the time.
Shit. There's a female Commodore?
Yeah.
Commodore's good. Haven't you ever seen Pirates, the porno? There's a female Commodore in that one, too.
I haven't seen that.
It's good.
Okay.
And then there's other variations. There's
actually there's
a rear Commodore. There's all these other Commodores.
Rear Commodore?
Yeah. Which actually,
is that
I
a
did,
dude or a chick?
I don't know.
It's got to be a dude.
I did actually look into like what like all these people do though. So there's a like a rear Commodore. There's another an associate Commodore. I'm forgetting which one does which, but one is associated with
doing it in the
water
rear.
Water-based activities, and the other one's is all focused on land-based activities.
What?
It's kind of interesting, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
How many water-based activities has this yacht club done that you've participated in?
Oh, so many.
None.
Well, they,
none
I mean, they have
to answer
a lot.
That question, but they have a lot.
They have a lot.
Yes, they have sailing programs, stuff like that.
What did we see on the sign the other day? It was like the Commodore's like private lagoon or something? It was like a meeting?
That was a drinking activity, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, does that count as water-based or land-based?
That's a good point.
It's kind of a hybrid.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it could take
liquid
place
based.
On both. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But the Commodore gets its own parking space, and when it's there, they raise a flag that's specific to that person. I'm speaking generally.
Oh, it sounds a lot like the Knights of Columbus, except that's a little bit of a like religious foundation. But like whenever like the chief or the head, what's his name?
Is the head knight the king?
Yeah, no, he's not the king, but like there's like the chief of the circle. No. But whenever he's
a different club.
Yeah. Whenever he's in the building, they raise like the flag saying, "Oh, well."
But is it his flag? I think these Commodores design their own, right?
I don't know. I actually don't know if there's
Is there a generic Commodore flag?
My guess is that there's probably like an international Commodore flag.
Like
that is
a Commodore
here. That is my guess.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Like the Grand Knight is here, so this flag is up.
But the Grand Wizard?
The Grand Wizard. Yeah.
White triangle that they hoist.
Yep. Yep.
It's actually a hood.
It goes on top of the flagpole.
Yeah.
He's in.
He's here.
But I just love that there's that much acknowledgement for this. Like, just for someone to be in the building, you raise a flag for them. Like, the president doesn't even get that.
Well, they're voted into position, just like the president, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
I know, but when the president goes into the building, there's not, like, a presidential flag that you hoist.
Well, have you
like,
met our president?
No, I haven't met any president since the first George Bush was in Escondido.
Wait, you met George Bush one?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. What event?
He was at the Escondido City Hall. It was like a... we kicked ass in Kuwait Grand Tour or something. The parade was in San Diego because it's like a big military town. Mm-hmm. And then he did.
You were like 9, 10?
Yeah, I was really young. But we got to shake his hand at Escondido City Hall.
That's cool.
That's pretty
really
cool.
Cool.
Yeah. I was actually going to ask if you guys ever like wrote to the presidents as like an elementary. No? That wasn't a thing that you did?
I don't write.
It might.
You don't write? Okay. Yeah. Like you didn't.
He's still illiterate. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how.
But I don't. We may have, and I didn't remember.
Wait, is that true?
No. I've been playing on this computer the whole time.
I don't know. You can just...
I use voice to text. Like, I don't need to write. Just
future is now.
Yeah. I've got a chip right behind my ear. Just I bite my molar and it just transmits my thoughts.
I'm sure I've forgotten just a million school projects. We might have done that. I don't know. But I also didn't go to public school, so I might have missed out on
it. Oh, cool guy.
I did Montessori and then I went to Catholic school.
Are you just bragging?
Until eighth grade. No, it sucked. I mean,
yeah,
Montessori,
but it was better
Montessori
than public
was great
school.
Because I was 2 years ahead in terms of curriculum from the public kids, like Ryan over here, who can't read.
That's
or
me.
Write, I guess.
And then St. Mary's, I was one.
Yeah, I can read. I just can't write. I can't reproduce what I'm looking at.
But then come high school, I got thrown into the pit of commoners and went to public school.
And you were welcomed with open arms.
I was.
Wait, yeah. Is this because you're dyslexic?
Am I?
Are you?
Maybe.
I'm dyslexic.
I don't think
that's
so.
That's why I'm trying to relate with
Wait,
you
are you, like, dyslexic? Absolutely dyslexic? Because, okay, every once in a while I'll get, like...
This isn't, like, I have dyslexic moments. I am dyslexic.
Oh, I have
what
dyslexic moments.
There are certain, like, at least for me. I mean, it's very different from person to person.
It's a spectrum.
Yeah, it's a spectrum, exactly. For me, it's just, like, shaped letters I tend to struggle with.
B's and D's.
B's and D's writing. B's and D's I struggle with. Yeah. I struggle with to this day. Even typing, I struggle with it.
Huh. They're in very... I guess they're only two keys
apart. I also have to read... Like, when I'm reading a book, I have to read every single word. Or I
sounds
don't...
Sounds exhausting.
I don't comprehend
it. Oh, you don't
it.
Read sentences.
I can't.
That was like... I did a speed reading course in college, and that was like the first thing we would do was start to... read as words, mm-hmm. and then read as phrases, and they would do this thing where they put a word. There was like imagine four columns of words, and then the furthest left column is your like source word, and then the other three are all words that look like it, mm-hmm. and then the words repeated. So it was like a matching game. You're like, I have to find this word in these three columns, and you would do this really fast and just like circle, 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 circle. So it would like teach you to not just see not read phonetically like we're taught, but read with shapes. The shape of a word.
I definitely it's something I definitely try. Like when I read, I definitely try to speed read, but I end up realizing I don't comprehend. Yeah.
Okay,
I'm
so
reading.
Does the dyslexia actually impede your reading?
Yeah,
because I'm sure a lot of people have seen
this. So it impedes the speed of my reading.
Okay,
yeah,
you don't look at a word. You're looking at individual letters, not just a word in its entirety. Because there's the study online, and I'm sure a majority of people have seen it. Like if I've seen it by accident, I'm sure a lot of people have seen it.
Oh, the one where it's like you only
the word
you have to know like
just the first
just
and last letter.
Yeah,
Oxford scramble.
Yes, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. But my problem is I will scramble multiple words together.
Oh.
Yes. It's not actually just one word. It's actually my eyes will sort of meld multiple words together.
Okay.
So,
I wonder if does this manifest in other areas? Like if your pattern recognition software is
off.
Funky.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Like when I'm driving, sometimes like
green looks red.
I completely miss like street signs. Or at least I don't like catch them very well, cuz I especially in that context, I have to really look at.
You're not getting the usual visual cues.
Yes. Yeah. Which is interesting because I would say that my eyesight, I have very good eyesight. I just don't read well.
You don't process patterns.
Yes. Correct. Yeah. That's correct. Huh.
Are you able to do magic eyes, word searches, those kind of weird things?
I don't know what magic eyes is.
It was like a pattern poster, and it just looked like jumbled, but as soon as you could zone out, it became a 3D pop image.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. I could do that, where you cross your eyes or something like that. You stare at it for 15 seconds.
Yeah,
and
that's one way to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about, were you really bad at word searches? Because that's fine.
Oh, my God. That would fuck
shit. That's actually a good point. I don't, patterns. I wouldn't say that I was any
at that point, it's just individual letters, right? It's not word.
I guess because you're looking at everything individually, right?
And you're super focused.
I look for the
pattern. Why did you wink at Jeff right now?
Oh, I didn't.
Are you sure?
I don't, maybe I did.
I feel a little bit of sexual chemistry going on right now.
Suck that dick.
Just suck it. None of those comments happened on the stripper show.
she spoke often about sucking dick.
I was pretty hammered at the end of that. I don't remember it.
Well, she was talking about how some of the other strippers would go too far and they wouldn't have to address it. They run a clean business.
A tight ship?
At Deja Vu. Yeah, it's a very tight ship.
The tightest.
All the ships are tight.
Yeah.
Deja Vu.
You can listen to that.
I will.
In the future. This is going to be released on manroomradio.com.
Yes.
The listeners already know that because they're listening to this. Yeah.
So back to the fucking yacht club.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Which I love. So I remember I heard Patrick and I worked.
Oh, wait. Is this the same yacht club that you were telling me about at the cabin?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
It's so great.
All right.
Well, what
I am tucked in. I am ready to.
Yeah, let's hear what you heard. What's your impression?
I heard that you were very excited about.
Jeff has by far been the most excited about this.
Yeah, and
yes, I agree.
He thought that would be right up one of my other coworkers on the other podcast, Allie. He was like, you would love this place.
Yeah.
And
I mean, it overlaps heavily with the cabin. And listeners of Man Room Radio have heard a lot about the cabin, but it's a place gruelingly designed for a man to be a man.
Yes.
There's a lot of undulate themed decor.
It is definitely not a feminine environment at all.
No.
Yeah. Which actually there are quite a few I would say most of the time we're there it's a pretty even mix most of the time.
Wait, are you talking about the cabin or
No,
the, oh, the yacht club.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you and also I guess to give background, the yacht club is sort of devised in more of a social gathering area downstairs, you can have weddings and stuff, and then the upstairs, which is where we spend most of our time, is a bar and a restaurant. So that area,
opposite of the cabin. Mm-hmm. The upstairs is the hangouts area, and the downstairs is the bar.
The upstairs, though, is what I would say is a nautical cabin, though, because it's just a lot of just kind of
is there a fish on the wall?
A lot of taxidermy. There's a lot of
it's a nautical Applebee's.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. That's
wait. Are we talking about the cabin?
No, the fucking yacht club.
No, I'm just making parallels right now. The yacht club and the cabin sound very, very similar. Very
yeah, they
like
are.
Very,
yeah.
Very
where
similar.
A man can be a man.
Yeah.
It's terrific.
Can you smoke inside?
I'm sure at one point, yes, probably.
Yeah, but then
not
now,
right now.
Now it's a California law, right?
Yeah, they had no say in that.
Unless it's a private.
But I guess I guarantee you they didn't clean up once that whole thing came into effect.
Oh, so there's smoke
there's
in
still
the walls.
Yeah, there's still tar kind of stuck in the walls and stuff like that.
Yeah, the ceiling tiles are a little
brown. It smells like grandpa.
Yeah.
It's probably because grandpa's there a lot.
Or buried downstairs in the...
His ashes are spread.
There's a lot of people that I see in there that I see every time I go. They just live there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think at least everyone so far that I've gone with sort of clings on to someone. I'll let Jeff describe his old salty experience.
Yeah. He's like my yacht club spirit animal. This is what I hope to be in life. It's just he's barely alive. But he's really doing the most with the time he has left. He just He just kind of totters around and says hey to everybody because he knows everybody. Mm-hmm. He always wears the same red hat. He has like these huge blisters under his eyes, probably from like staring at the open
seas. Or rosacea or something like that.
Could be. Yep. But he's just there every
time.
From
being on the yacht,
holding
a glass, at the horizon.
Talking to all of his friends.
What's in his glass?
It's usually brown liquor.
Okay.
Just reminiscing Perfect. About yeah. the old times.
Perfect.
Freedom on the open seas.
I already like that guy.
He's great. A and lot. he's just always there. Every time I go, Old Salty's there.
Yeah, speaking of barely alive, the Yacht Club also sends out like monthly newsletters, and most of which is like eulogies. So it's just of like all of the Yacht Club members that are dying off. So,
yeah, so this
it's
is
something that myself and my wife look forward to every
is the
month.
Eulogy.
Yeah, the eulogies.
Is there kind of a formula, or do they really customize it?
No, they're customized. Yeah. Okay. And there's usually some like, you know, like image of them like looking off into the distance, like
over the sea.
Yeah.
With their foot on the head of a primitive.
Yep.
Or behind that giant steering wheel that boats have. What's that called?
Is it called
a
steering
wheel?
I don't know.
The yeah. helm?
All right. Well, I guess it's like the general area is the helm, right?
Oh, okay. Right? Just at the helm.
I don't know.
Just,
you're
the yacht club guy.
I don't know. I don't spend enough time on actual like boats and ships.
He's a canoer.
A canoer, yeah. Manpower.
Holding a paddle.
Yes. Yeah.
So when you die, you get to hold a paddle.
I guess.
Yeah, they cross his arms and put the paddle on his chest like a knight.
Yes.
I like that.
Manpower is good though. Like we had one occasion. Patrick and I were, I didn't even want to go to the yacht club that night, and Patrick kept texting me like, "Hey, dude, I'll even pick you up." I'm like, fine, all right. He really has some shit.
Do you guys
his
like
chest.
Live close?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're both in San Clemente. Yeah. But we had a great time. We were talking there for like an hour and a half, and this one older patron, it was like a 60-plus-year-old woman, was kind of listening in. And she's like, listen to these two young sailors.
I want to talk to them.
Yeah, they've really got some good things to say. I'm going to talk to these guys. And that was her first question, is are you sailors or power boaters?
Yeah.
That's their
Oh, wow. That's the icebreaker.
Yeah. But curveball, Patrick's a manpower.
Yeah,
he's a
yeah.
canoeer.
You're not either.
Yeah, that's true.
I am the wind.
You don't need nature.
Manpower boater.
Okay, tell me about this voting thing that we were talking about earlier.
Oh, yeah, like, so you apply and all that, and then
oh,
what happens?
Yeah, sorry, we didn't even, like, go
there's an application, right?
Yeah, application, and then I guess all the Commodores. And
wait, what's involved with the application? There's a letter of recommendation.
Like letter of recommendation.
Write
so,
your name
yeah,
down.
That's true. Yeah, I guess the application itself, you know, the general, like, information, personal information, and then you have to have a letter of rec, and
like WRECK, like you've ruined a vessel.
No.
No.
I mean,
that would be a hell of a speedboat.
I like that. Yeah. I like that.
It's like, have you crashed out your boat before? Yes, but I survived. Okay, you could apply to be a Commodore.
So I guess, yeah, technically you have to be like someone has to vouch for you.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm just getting into voting.
It's okay. We're back. I fixed it. Here we are. Recording
are we
again.
Continuing?
Are you making another salad?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. No, I still have half my salad.
Oh, that's your first salad. Well, my third salad.
Well, I have to leave after this.
That's true. I get to go to bed.
Okay, let's start over from the
the application.
The application. Yeah, you have to get like a letter of recommendation.
Yes,
and
a letter of recommendation.
A picture of yourself.
And to be clear on the letter of recommendation, it isn't just plowing a vessel into a whatever, a jetty. Yes. Yeah, someone has to vouch for you, which isn't, I don't think is as difficult as it sounds. Like, I don't think it's as, it probably was a big barrier at one point. Like, I'm sure, like, before you had to know someone
yeah.
who had a boat and knew that you were, like, seaworthy. And, yeah, now it's just, like, if you're interested, they'll just find someone to, like.
They need people, right?
Yeah, they need people, exactly. Well,
especially
back to my
people.
Original point, yeah, of everyone dying.
Yeah,
yeah they're, that's probably the only reason why I'm a member there is because they're, like, incentivizing young people to join. So
well, that way they could keep you as a member for a long time.
Yeah, or just leave.
Are there dues?
So, yeah, well, if you want to. Yes, there are multiple levels of dues. So for me, I'm paying the lowest. I'm the lowest ranked person there. So it's like it's not even a junior member. I'm below that.
I think it's cabin boy.
Yes, sure. Yeah. And you just swap all decks. the poop decks. Yeah. Yeah. So I end up paying pretty much the amount of like a gym membership to be a member. And then,
you make it back because everything's so cheap there. So
yeah, you do. And then, I mean, and that was the other thing too. Is like one of the stipulations is, you have to spend like, I think it's like $80 a quarter, not even a month, a quarter every 3 months. Yeah, and which is, I mean, I have to say, like if it's just me and my wife going, like, it is a struggle. Like I would say like an average meal, if you get one drink each and then two meals, you're spending like $20.
Oh shit. Yeah.
It's really cheap.
Beers are $3.
When Jeff and I go with a group and there's four of us or so, I mean, we won't even spend $100 and we'll all have multiple drinks.
Wow.
So yeah, it's very cheap, but yeah.
Sundays.
Oh god.
Sunday is
wait,
a special
okay.
day.
Let me explain the other yes, there are like if you're a full member, it's super expensive. It's like you pay a $15 or $2,000application fee.
That's a huge range. $15 or $2,000?
Or no, $1,500 to $2,000 application fee or something like that, or initiation fee. And then I think it's like $300 a month, which it's a fucking absurd amount of money.
But a car payment.
But how much is boat maintenance, right? Like, if you're just tacking on $300 extra for that lifestyle, it's not that much, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, you're right. You probably do also have the select group of people that are probably living on their boats, right?
Right.
So it's like, it's almost like they're paying a mortgage, maybe. Yeah. But I would say
quarter
that's...
Quarter one.
Yeah. But yeah. I would also say that's pretty, like, far and few between that there are actually people that are doing that, that go to the yacht club. There, yeah, but back to Jeff's point of Sunday morning.
There's these little events.
Actually, there's I was gonna say there's multiple events, but the Sunday morning event is the best one. So they have bottomless omelets or a bottomless omelet bar and bottomless mimosas for $12.
Oh my god.
My favorite part is they don't even bring you orange juice anymore. Yeah. It's just champagne.
And they like drop off. Like, yeah, it's
here's
funny.
Your bottle.
The other hilarious part of this is that they definitely put effort in at, like, the first couple rounds, maybe like the first two or three rounds. Like, yeah, they come around and like someone's actually pouring you a glass of champagne. At some point, they just say, "Fuck it,
here's
I'm gonna leave an entire bottle of champagne. Just let me know when you finish that."
That's after we've been there for 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, how much is a bottle of Cooks? Like $8? $4?
I don't know.
You can buy it in bulk for maybe...
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Maybe 12 for 30?
But you're also getting omelets the whole time.
Yeah.
I get three omelets when I go. It's like being on a Carnival cruise. Like, the guy...
Just keep going.
He hates his job.
Yeah. Right. Toppings.
He just looks at you with these dead eyes saying, "What do you want in your omelet?"
Yeah, like there's no like greeting or anything like, "No. What do you want in this?"
Exactly.
Do you want cheese?
Yeah, and he's very like passive aggressive about the little flips. He's like, "Woo."
Onions and bell pepper. Okay, well, you get bell pepper.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Wow. Do they pay the guys that make the omelets?
Yeah. So I think that's
how does this place make money?
All these membership. And this is actually another, like, huge benefit. Well, not huge benefit, but, like, an interesting benefit to being at the yacht club is you don't tip any of these people.
Yes.
They're all making...
My favorite part.
Yeah, they're... I don't know if they're salary. I don't know if
can
they're
you?
Hourly.
It's got to be hourly. Yeah.
Can you tip them?
I think they discourage it.
You can. But they actually, yeah, they do discourage it.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like feeding the birds.
Oh, that put a real sour taste in my mouth.
They have signs up.
Yeah.
What, are you a tipper? You like tipping?
I don't enjoy tipping, but I think if somebody does a good job, I'd like to thank them.
Why? I don't get tipped. I kick ass at work every day. No
yeah,
one tips
but,
me.
But you make a decent salary.
Yeah.
Like if somebody's making minimum wage and I think they did a good job, I like to tip them with a couple bucks. It's like a valet guy. Do you not tip a valet guy?
I do because it's socially mandated, but I'm against it conceptually.
But you do.
I'm against valeting in general. But
I'd always rather park.
If I'm forced to valet and like someone's going to run and get a car, I don't mind giving them $2 or $3. The people that I see like give like $10 or something like that, like sort of like Well, I mean, you either have fuck you money or, like, you just, I guess, buy into, yeah, that, like, social norm of, like, giving someone a tip. Yes.
Because otherwise you're a dick. Yeah. But yeah. I reject the idea that these people need some kind of incentive to do their job well when the rest of us don't. We do it for the sake of doing a good
job.
Well,
I wasn't looking at it from an incentive point, but like from a thank you point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, thank you for doing a good job. Hey, here's a couple bucks.
Yeah, but it's not presented as I've done a good job. It's presented as you owe me this.
Oh.
Like if you tip nothing at a restaurant, you're a dick. You start at like the 15% or whatever. That's your new baseline. And if they did a good job, you tip them more than that. Mm-hmm. If they did a bad job, you tip them less than that.
Mm-hmm.
It just started nothing.
And if they do a good job, then you thank them with a tip.
Sure.
But that's how I've always seen it. I know that's not how society is, but yeah. I've always.
I know. I'm not going to die on this.
How about like when you're getting coffee? If you buy coffee, I don't know if you were one of those people.
I don't drink coffee.
You don't.
But maybe Ryan can.
I'll
answer.
Go fuck myself. Ryan, do you drink coffee?
I don't drink coffee.
Why?
It tastes like dirt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll get.
It's
well,
just
no.
Mud water.
Hot, wet dirt.
Yeah.
I feel like, Jeff, you have a different take on this, though. I have a feeling like there's another reason why you don't drink it.
Oh, other than the taste?
Yeah.
Well,
is it just
like
the taste?
Commercial
I just don't picture.
Like Starbucks coffee?
No, like
or just
good coffee. I like good coffee. Like it's like
Patrick
doesn't
think Starbucks is good coffee.
I don't think Starbucks is good coffee. I also, yeah.
Good coffee drinkers don't think Starbucks is good coffee.
I also don't.
Josh would say the same thing.
Yeah.
They burn their beans,
period.
And it's gross.
Yeah.
It's by design burnt coffee.
I don't. Me and coffee, like, we're not in the same world.
Well, you're strongly advocating for Starbucks here.
I was just pointing out that Patrick doesn't like Starbucks.
Yeah. Sure. I also don't like Starbucks. Just like I like supporting like small local businesses too. And
yeah,
I actually you have a mix, right? Like so that you have like some places that are just like I'm going to try to fit the cookie cutter of like Starbucks and just kind of fit that like we're going to just get you drip coffee and that's it.
Yeah, we're going to have really really warm paint and smooth jazz,
yes.
Like a little sitting area.
Yeah.
Like, there's kind of a formula that Starbucks systemized. Yeah.
Exactly. And then you have like the small like mom and pop places that are like really trying to like be like a local roaster or something like that. Like I'm totally up for that. Like, and maybe that's because I am that like serial hobbyist that likes to kind of like get into the details of a specific niche.
Mm-hmm.
And like I just appreciate the kind of like craftsman work that goes into
making hot sauce.
Good coffee.
Oh, coffee.
Yeah, or
yeah. Coffee.
Coffee. Well, and hot sauce. Hot sauce too.
All of those.
Yeah. But I guess like I would relate it to like whiskey and stuff like that. It's the same thing. Like someone is taking mm-hmm. an absurd amount of time and caring about the details of doing something well.
No, I definitely appreciate like anything artisanal. I think the main thing that turns me off about coffee is the widely admitted dependence on it.
Oh, yeah.
I really hate dependence.
And
most people, they have this, like, but first coffee kind of.
That's
I hate all those T-shirts,
yes,
yeah.
It's
mugs.
It's one of my pet peeves.
Like,
it's
you,
just
you
dependence
are a person.
In general.
You don't need that black dirt water.
Are you guys morning people in general?
Jeff is.
He's not.
I was
I'm
gonna,
not.
Yeah. I was going to say, I know Jeff is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jeff woke me up with a phone call this morning 15 minutes after he texted me, I'm here.
and that was like 30 minutes after I pulled
into
your driveway.
Wait, is that because you work late too? Is that more so the reason?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's okay. Why
that
I
makes
was
sense. Well,
so,
that makes sense.
Like generous with the time. I know his schedule, and I got here early just because it was like I could sit in my car here and do work, or I could just sit at home. Everyone else is asleep too.
Right.
I'd rather just get down here and be ready because, I mean, I'm sure you know the traffic just gets worse.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, yeah.
Zoom down early and hang out.
Yeah, he called me at 9 a.m.
Exactly.
And I was, like 9 a.m. on the nose.
Like
and
it was 8:59 when I was dialing.
You're not a morning person because you can't be a morning person.
Right.
Because you are.
Job prohibits it.
At 9:03, I was here and active and ready to go.
Yeah, well,
I was
so
a
you
little
are
groggy,
kind of,
but
you are a highly, like, it sounds like you
I'm just
highly,
effective.
Yeah, but when you wake up, you are awake. Like, because I know, like,
it takes me about 5 minutes, but I'm ready to go.
I don't think.
Yeah,
that's
but what he's saying is this cultural dependence on coffee. A lot of people, and I think it's mostly mental. They just slog around.
Yeah,
until
they're
they
like
get
a zombie
placebo.
For like 2 hours,
oh,
and
yeah.
like I, I'm one of those people that, like, as soon as I'm awake, I am fucking ready to go.
Here,
like,
we go.
Well, and in my defense, and not to counter your argument, about 20 minutes later, I did take a 5-hour energy. but that was my first this week.
So we got another 3.5 hours. Yeah. Ryan being awesome. Yeah.
That was my first this week. It just, I wanted to be alert and on point for recording today. But usually it's 5 minutes to wake up. Usually a shower is included in that. And,
which is fine. That's part of your, like, normal, like,
but as soon as I'm
such an outlier with your he is diurnal.
I do what?
You're diurnal. you have the same sleep pattern as a cat, where you sleep twice a day.
Oh yeah.
You don't have an 8-hour sleep period. You have 2 4-hour sleep periods.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. For what reason?
Well, because I've got a day job as well as DJ.
Oh, okay.
So what I do is I wake up 8, 9, or 10, mm-hmm. Depending on when I'm scheduled in the morning, and then I go to work. I work for 6-ish hours. Mm-hmm. I come home and I go to sleep for another 3 to 4 hours, and then I wake up and then I go DJ for 5-ish hours. Then I go home and I sleep for 5 to 7 hours.
Right.
So my week is not 7 24-hour days.
Yeah.
It's 14 12-hour days.
Yeah.
I've got my morning days and then my night days.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I
if anything,
I diet
you are
the urinal.
One of those people that probably, like, deserve the excuse of not being a morning person.
Yeah, exactly.
But
that's,
like,
that's why I give them a lot of leeway. Yeah, and I sit in my car for 45 minutes like an asshole.
But even then, if you had called me right then, I would have been up and
I know,
ready
but
to
I don't
go.
Want to do that to you.
Yeah, but see, I guess the reason why I ask this question is because I've gone camping with. I think that's when you really find out how people function.
Yep.
Because you're putting someone in a situation where they're not super comfortable sleeping, that you're not in your home laying in bed, and you don't have the luxury of having a bathroom, you know, like 10 feet away from you.
You don't have the fan on your nightstand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So pretty much what I've realized is I have, like, a group of people that I've gone camping with, and they're, like, rolling, like, I'll get up right when the sun's coming up. You know, it'll be like 6 o'clock or something like that. And I'll start making breakfast or getting things ready. And then someone rolls out of bed at like 7:30 and they're just like, don't talk to me until I take a shower
and have my coffee. That's what I hate.
And then like they're, you know, they're like in this like mopey, like, I don't want to be around people for the next 3 hours. And then at some point they decide to like wake up and, like, okay, let's start the day now. And it's like,
you've wasted a lot of time today.
Yeah. And I would argue probably some of the best part of the day, too.
Exactly.
It's like when things are kind of peaceful and,
and
crisp.
When we go camping,
crisp. That's the right word.
the day that we go to leave, it's get up and roll out. And you get up as soon as you have enough light to be effective. And you start packing your shit.
Exactly.
And you get in your car and you go home.
Oh,
and I will leave you there.
You will. My go home
How many times have I left the cabin
every
before
time.
You're even awake?
Every time.
Like, oh, Jeff, I guess Jeff's gone.
Yeah, every time Jeff is gone. No, I like to enjoy, like, the first half of the day. Like, I'm still here. I want to enjoy my morning. Like, when it's afternoon and starting to get uncomfortable, then let's leave. Okay. You know, because then I can get in my air-conditioned car, drive down a hill. It's all good.
I think, changed my mind on that. And I'm going to, just because I've gotten less cabin in my life recently, that next time we go, I'm going to stay a little bit later on Sunday morning and really soak it up.
It's not like there's a traffic difference either.
No, there's not.
Yeah,
it's usually just, if today's go home day, I'm just gonna get that done.
What do you guys normally do at this cabin?
Like,
nothing.
This.
You just hang. You just hang
nothing.
Out in the cabin.
Yeah.
You guys don't go out. Like, there's no hiking.
No.
You
know? Nope.
Nope.
No.
None of that
no.
Shit.
Because you just, like, that's like your mission is, like, when you go there.
No,
I'm just gonna sit in a cabin.
There'd be no reason to leave the cabin. It's like I said. It is designed very precisely to be everything you need. There's
without. More than 15 steps.
Nothing outside of the cabin is better than what's inside the cabin. It is the best place in the world.
He's right. No, absolutely. In every way. Like, I don't know how to better.
Levi said he wants to do another Jeff's Crew
Yes,
cabin,
like
cabin
you and your boys were a great cabin trip.
Well, I have a good
probably
group.
Yeah, probably one of the best.
But what? Yeah, we'll have to bring you and Harrison hasn't been up there either. We'll have to get you guys up there one of these days, and then you'll understand. It's kind of like the Matrix. Like you just kind of have to see it for yourself. Hmm.
Yeah, I'm curious because I'm not one of those people that I don't like being inside very much. Like,
okay.
You have to be inside. You can be on the patio.
Yeah. Okay. Let me
there
paint a scene.
I don't patios. Like being stationary is my thing.
Oh.
Like,
ooh, you might not work then.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if there are things that, like, can keep me occupied. Like,
yeah,
if you guys are, like, playing games.
There's
and,
pool
like,
tables.
Oh,
there's
yeah,
darts.
Yeah,
there's games. There's cards.
Then that's fine. Yeah, you're keeping me occupied.
Yeah, there's every console system.
Oh, okay.
With a corresponding TV of that era.
Yeah, so the Nintendo's like, got a 1987
like
CRT.
I like this.
Yeah, tube.
And then there's foos hockey.
Okay.
There's pool table, of course. Full bar.
Full wet bar.
Huge bar. Upstairs, there's some of the most comfortable couches you can possibly imagine.
I've slept there many times.
Picture the most comfortable couch ever.
Like the couch that's been just like beat in for like
just
whatever
of, like,
you think
year.
Is
the
most
extreme in comfort.
Couch.
Yeah, picture that right now. Okay. You picturing it?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
These are more comfortable.
Yeah, more comfortable than that.
Even
absolutely.
More comfortable. And then down the hallway, just a quick shuffle in your socks, is a bookshelf full of 1980s to 1990s VHS classics.
VHS?
Ooh. Like Last what, Starfighter.
Like 300.
What?
Like 300 VHS.
What's,
oh,
go,
VHS.
What's the go-to?
At least.
What's the go-to? Like if everyone's
I
just
usually
like, I'm
go
sit
through
down.
A Bond movie.
Alien?
Alien's nice.
Alien's
yeah.
up there. A Bond.
Okay. Yeah, any of the Bond movies are usually pretty good.
Or something John Wayne.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite John Wayne movie?
Yes, but I can't remember what it's called. He played John Washington, not George Washington. But it's called
his brother.
It's McClintock.
Oh, Brit?
Yeah. No, McClintock.
Oh, McClintock. Oh,
yeah,
okay,
yeah. He
okay.
played
Wait,
John Washington McClintock.
Oh, okay.
And there was a remake, but True Grit was up there too.
Yeah.
I like the original more than
what was
the remake.
Wait, what was this character's name in True Grit? I thought it was McClintock, but I guess I was
wrong. No, it's
I'm
not
wrong.
McClintock. I mean, we can Google it.
Oh, that's fine.
But I'd rather talk more about the cabin.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there are some, like, John Wayne cardboard cutouts around.
Okay.
The, like I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of, like, undulate-themed decor.
There's a swordfish above the fireplace.
I like that each of the rooms is themed with an animal.
Is there a lot of taxidermy?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you guys hunt?
I've
not up there. I'm just saying in general.
I would like to. It's number 4 on my to-do list.
Okay. I have no problem killing animals.
It's a good elk hunt.
You have what?
No problem killing animals.
Oh, okay.
Or people.
Well, that's
human,
why. That's why he has a cabin.
Human is my favorite animal.
Most dangerous so. Game. Rooster Cogburn.
Rooster Cogburn, okay.
True Grit.
There you go.
Yep. So each room is themed with an animal.
The moose room is the best room.
Yes, thank you. I agree with you completely.
Why is this?
It has
the most comfortable bed.
Yes, that's a big part of it.
You're laying on it.
Very secluded.
How are these rooms named?
By the animal.
Yeah, because like that moose room has a moose in it?
Okay.
Everything in the room is moose.
Yeah, so
oh,
above
okay.
the door, there's like a tiny, tiny moose head.
Okay.
And then as soon as you open the door, there's like a moose comforter. There's like a moose pillow. There's like a moose picture on the wall.
Yeah.
And if you go into like the fish room.
Which is next door.
There's a fish above the door. So you
No specified fish?
Several.
Just a fish.
Okay, several. Fish. Yeah.
A live fish.
Okay.
Just nailed above the door. We catch one every time we go up.
Yeah.
And you go inside and there's like a couple of pictures of fish on the wall. Like
the little drawers have like
have
fish
handles.
Things. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And like even the drawstrings on the blinds have like fish end things. So every time you go in, it's a full-on theme.
And then the master bedroom, of course, is the bear room. And then downstairs,
of
which
course.
Has a big bed and some bunk beds.
The deer room?
Is the deer room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Has a lot of deer.
The deer room big bed is good, but
which I think used to be in the moose room.
I don't know if they moved it around.
I think they moved it, yeah.
That seems like a lot of work.
See, I like the fish room now more than the moose room because I think the bed moved.
Oh, I love the moose room. It's the furthest.
Yeah, it's the most secluded.
From everybody. Mm-hmm. Well, with the exception, I guess, of the bear room. They're equally secluded.
Yep.
But it's a comfortable bed, and if there are a lot of people, there's the queen bed in the moose room, and there's also like a single. So, okay, well, you got a couple and then like their friend.
Yeah.
No hanky panky, but unless they're really passed out.
Anything goes at the cabin.
Yeah. But then you go into the fish room and it's two singles. It's two twins in the fish room.
Yeah, it's twins now.
Yeah. And then you go into the bear room, which is always Levi's dad's room. So, like, I've never even contemplated the idea of going to the bear room.
No,
like,
never. I don't know what it looks like.
It's not an option.
None of my business.
Yeah. You go downstairs to the deer room. You've got, is it a queen?
It's a queen and...
two bunks.
Yeah, but they're, like, the most rickety bunks you could ever imagine.
Like...
It's like maximum. two by fours and
no,
and
it's,
nails.
It's
like hammocks held up by popsicle sticks.
IKEA's retarded little sister, like, put it together. It's like maximum weight 140, and we get like grown ass men sleeping on these,
like full like 260 sons of bitches up on that thing.
But like
you're on the bottom bunk and you're seeing the slats like just bow at you, and the whole thing is shaking and creaking. You're like, I'm gonna sandwich.
But. Comfortably in bed, not including couches. Like it,
you're a couch guy sometimes.
Yeah, just because I don't want to interrupt people or wake up people when going to bed. But those couches are so damn comfortable.
Yeah, the couches are great.
But we could easily sleep 12, 14.
I think we had at least that. And then there's patios along everything. So we spend most of our time kind of sitting on one of those with a cigar and a scotch. Talking about life and work. And,
yeah. Just bullshitting. It's a great life. When the best weekend was with Jeff's crew, and when they came
out. That was the best cabin weekend for you?
It was one of them.
Wow.
One of them by far.
Cool.
Maybe second only to Romo's bachelor party.
Mm.
Maybe. Mm. Yeah, super close contender.
When did you get on the wall of shame?
I'm still not.
What?
I'm not on the wall of shame.
Oh, is it Bliss? I thought you or your ilk was on the wall of shame.
No.
Oh.
Wait, what's the wall of shame?
That's exactly what you think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for what reason? What, like, what if deems you...
If it's a good enough reason, then you get put on the wall of shame.
Yeah, but what? Like, is it like...
Getting you become a problem?
Yeah, like, you were so drunk, you're like, I have to go throw up, so you... make the conscious decision in your drunken state to go throw up, but you mistake the fish room for the bathroom. Like, that would
Which
put
are different.
You... Yeah, that would... Although they are across the hall, you turn left instead of turning right. That would put you on the wall of shame.
Okay.
Yeah. But your weekend is one of my favorite weekends because...
You mean DB's birthday?
Yes.
Okay.
I was there... hours before people showed up. Mm-hmm. Got to open up the cabin. Got to air it out. Do your thing.
Turn on the furnace,
the water heater. So I get there. Everything's ready. I go outside. I smoke a cigar. Enjoy myself with nature.
Mm-hmm.
Life is good.
No pants.
I mean, why would I need pants? Then I go inside, put my pants on, and I sit in the chair. The chair.
Mm-hmm. Lazy boy.
Yep. And I don't know if it was you or Levi was next.
I question why you would put your pants back on.
Because I know that there are people showing up.
It's a leather chair and you stick.
Yeah, and...
That's a good reason.
And I know that there are females that I'm not super familiar with showing up, so I don't want to just, like, give them the goods for free. So I put my pants back on and I sit in the chair, and I don't know if it was you or Levi showed up next, but somebody walks in the front door and I'm just... sitting there with the beer in the chair. They're like, hey, Ryan, how's it going? And I don't even say anything. I just sort of nod and hold up my beer. All right, cool. Sounds like you're in cabin mode. I just nod and hold up my beer.
It was me.
And it was you. It was you.
All these people I was bringing to the cabin, they had never been there before. They were Hollywooding.
On the course of 6 hours.
Yeah, it was a long line of people showing up. And I had to make it clear to everybody, like, what you do here. And Ryan was a very convenient example. I was like, you see that guy? That's what we do here. All right? You taking notes? And Ryan would lift
nod.
His ass, nod and continue and hold to up my sit beer. Quietly.
I sat there for 6 hours.
That's what we do. You sit quietly, and you enjoy the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, God, the cabin's great. Such a cabin boner right now. Oh, I wish
I want to have my birthday at the cabin
fully torqued. is actually like
a fully torqued things Patrick says in the office and hope no one gets
fully torqued.
wait, Ryan, do you know what that like? Without really actually thinking,
we're talking just
like if you were walking down the street and someone was saying, "Man, I'm fully torqued right now."
So, like, you, in my mind, when somebody says that, your pants.
I should
are a
say
little
I was also having this conversation with my manager. So
that changes a lot.
It doesn't. Not with this manager.
But when somebody says fully torqued, I imagine that you are standing and you're wearing
hands on your hips.
I mean, maybe. It depends on your preference.
Sorry, fists on your hips.
Yes. And something is happening that has excited you to the point that your now flaccid penis, which was down the left side of your
does
pants or right side of your
does
pants.
Does it have to be your penis, though? I mean, I would say it could be just penis. Yes, I feel like it has you could be just penis. Excited, though, in general.
No.
I think you could be fully torqued. You're just really excited.
No.
Spirit is peppy?
Torque?
Yeah, sure.
Torque is not
I'm fully torqued right
your
now.
Your dick doesn't look like Stallone's forearms over there on the wall.
That's true.
Yeah.
So vascular.
Torque is not an emotional state. That is a...
It's a spiritual state.
No, it's a physical state. Like, you don't torque something emotionally. You, no, torque
okay.
is measured.
Actually,
it's scientific.
That is actually a very good point.
Yeah.
I will take you up.
So
on that.
When somebody
get
says,
out of the gutter.
I'm fully torqued, let's get back into the gutter. Like, you're standing there and your jeans are a little too tight, and now you're getting excited, and, well, it's. You don't have the freedom to go ahead.
What are you doing?
I'm visually showing you. You don't have the freedom to go from 6 to noon. There's something in the way, which means that you now have scientific torque on your jeans.
Oh, wow.
That's okay. How I imagine fully torqued. So, like, when you're... Okay.
Like, the catapult is
very good.
Yeah, so next time you have an uncomfortable boner because your pants are holding you down.
Right. The catapult's loaded.
It's... torqued. Like there is some
fully torqued.
Oh my, yeah. You were fully torqued.
Okay.
Now, what did that mean to you before I corrected you?
Oh no, that is what it means.
Oh. With your manager, I'm fully torqued.
Oh no, I was debating with him that it isn't common
master
knowledge.
Debating.
Yes, master debating. That isn't common knowledge. That it's if I just walk around saying fully torqued, I'm fully torqued right now. That no one else is going to know that I'm talking about having a massive boner.
I've had a lot of the same conversations with him where he'll go, you can't say that in an office environment. And I say, yes, I can.
And do.
And I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, keep this in mind, too, that I'm like walking out of his office and I'm saying.
With a full-on rager.
Fully
Jeff,
torqued.
Are you fully torqued right now? And he goes, and my manager goes, you can't say that. And I
because
turn around.
He's imagining the boner
and
status.
Keep in mind, he was the one that brought up being fully torqued to begin with.
But he did it quietly.
Yeah, sure. But I just ran with
indiscretion.
Yes, sure. And it's not like someone popped up from a cubicle as soon as
so
I publicly... Yes.
Like a meerkat.
What?
Yeah, exactly. Someone's fully torqued.
Me too. What? I think everybody's got a different definition of fully torqued. But I think mine's right.
Yours is very good
because it's got a little science behind it.
Like you're just ready to like load a cashew on it and just send it.
Yes, Dane Cook, Dane Cook it. Yes.
Do you remember that Dane Cook joke?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm a Dane Cook fan.
Lol.
Am I allowed to be? Cricket? Actually,
we are again. It's come full circle. It's cool again.
I do have a full or a question for you guys.
Okay.
Considering you got, actually, Ryan, did you grow up in this area too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Growing up in this area, were you guys Blink-182 fans?
Fuck yes. My uncle went to Poway High School with them. Yeah.
Same class. Yeah. Dang. Okay.
So I was exposed to them very early on, like before they were like,
and see,
releasing
I,
albums.
I was a huge Blink-182 fan. Yeah. Like. This was before Enema of the State was the one that got them like
that, yeah
famous.
They were like on tier
right?
for that one
yeah and yeah I was always curious as to like what the culture was like down in
it was big.
Down in Escondido and Poway.
So, was bigger. Escondido was big. I hang out with Tom DeLong.
Really?
Yeah.
Like right on the regular.
I wouldn't say like on the red, not like I hang out with him less often than I hang out with
how
Jeff.
How much have you learned about aliens?
Oh my god!
I now he's know. So stupid. I now know everything he's about so his aliens. They're phenomenal.
In what way?
Well,
in ways a conspiracy theorist can't really describe. You know, they just don't want you to know.
Or somebody like, as much as a conspiracy theorist could describe it, like a logical person can't. So
I love that those are separate categories because you're right.
Yeah. But he's a super cool guy. And he also regrets being part of the band.
What?
Yeah.
Well, he's always been the problem.
Yeah. He's like, we were just hanging out making music, and then we started making money, and I'd rather make music than money.
He's a fucking whiner. Cool. If you listen to like 4 seconds of Angels and Airwaves, you're like, oh, this guy's a pussy.
See, I was that was actually exactly what I was going to say.
Oh, yeah.
And
that was his sellout, but now he's retired. Like, he doesn't do shit because...
No, that's not true. He's coming out with new Angels and Airwave stuff.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Huh. Oh, well...
Or at least I from what I saw, it seemed like he
I mean,
was
I haven't seen him in, like...
But I don't hang out with Tom DeLonge, though.
I wouldn't if I could.
Like, he comes into my work to...
Really?
Just come say hey, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Wait, I guess. And he has... sure.
I guess.
Because he has He has a place in, is it like in Leucadia or something like that? Like, doesn't he have like a storefront for like Macbeth or something like that?
Oh, I don't know where the store is. He lives in Encinitas.
Okay.
So.
I can be making this completely up right now.
Me?
Me.
Oh, you.
Yeah.
I guess me too, but
there's a storefront somewhere that like I've seen that's Macbeth, and then there's like a studio attached to it, but I could be.
That's the lion thing, right?
Maybe.
Like, that's their emblem?
Macbeth? Macbeth? It's a shoe company?
Shoe company.
Shoe and apparel company.
Is he part of that?
Yeah, he started it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So his little studio is attached to one of his stores.
I don't know. I could be completely wrong on this. I always assumed that was like where he did a lot of his work in terms of like the alien extraterrestrial stuff.
Okay. Yeah. His research.
It was like just like a workspace. It wasn't like a studio in the sense of like a recording studio.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Not like this garage.
Yes, like this garage.
Yeah.
This is where he researches.
Or a place with mics. Yes.
Yeah. That makes a studio.
Yeah. But no, Blink 182 was huge down here. I mean, at least in my life. I was getting like cassettes of it, you know, when I was in like 7th grade.
And that's how
Really?
That's Yeah, but that's
like,
how it
my
started,
uncle, like,
right?
Knew them before, like, he went to school with them in Poway High.
But
and that's how it started. It was just like a circulation of cassettes that kind of got around, right? And they sort of just
I don't know. Like,
there.
I was really young, so I know I was part of it, but not enough to know enough to like define it.
I learned about Blink after the cassette
Tom is
era.
Listening to this, so he can correct.
I'm not going to tell him about it.
Please,
no.
Can let him.
I just called him an asshole.
You can let him,
like,
you can
I'm
let
not going to.
You can let him know my full name.
Okay, what's your full name?
No.
Nice try.
I will let him know your full name. We won't say it on the air.
I have his autograph.
Patrick McTavish.
Sure. It's actually Patrick.
What did I say?
Patrick. But
what's that from?
Patrick.
Is that from that Highlander
Patrick.
Shit?
Patrick.
Patrick is the like the Irish actual.
No, but McTavish. Is that from Highlander?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
No, not Highlander. What's the one all the chicks like right now?
I don't know. I'm not a chick.
What's McTavish from?
Everything.
I'm Googling.
Wait. Patrick, how do you spell your name?
Tavish Surfboards.
I'll tell you my... Tavish. I spell my first name in the normal way.
Okay, let me see your ID.
I appreciate you spelling it normally.
I actually don't have it.
What?
Sorry, it's in my car.
I mean, we can wait.
Well, is there anything else we want to dig into about the Yacht Club? I feel like we haven't like fully described.
Oh yeah, we digressed.
Okay. I'll admit, Jeff kind of prefaced when he invited me onto this, and had said that he was going to bring up the Yacht Club.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a little bit of research, not a ton. Nice. I didn't do a ton of research
on yourself.
I was actually curious. Yes, on myself.
Okay.
No, on Yacht Clubs because I was curious. And I guess, I was curious about Yacht Clubs from like the racial part because I assumed it was just going to be, and it is dominated by white males, and it has been for 300 years. Mm-hmm. And One thing I didn't spend enough time digging into is I'm sure there's a debate between the first yacht club ever was based in
Columbus.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, he was on a big old yacht.
It's somewhere in Spain.
Yeah.
Should we let him finish?
No, it's somewhere in Russia.
It's on my spell.
And I'm forgetting.
What?
There's ice up there.
I don't want to be part of a Russian institution.
Somewhere in Russia, and it was originally created by the Tsar at that time.
In Russian yacht club.
And it was actually all for the Russian aristocrats. So pretty much he had all of his rich friends go out and hang out on this fleet of personal ships.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah, it sounds cold, right? Like you need a lot of scarves.
Yeah. Oh, wait. It was a submarine yacht club. Maybe. They were probably underwater with heaters.
They don't have a good coast, right? Do they, connect to the Black Sea?
This, like 1720s?
Oh, definitely not in the 1720s.
Yeah, actually, and that was another thing I was pretty surprised by is how early this was.
Yeah.
And then the next one, and so what I was going to say about the debate is that there seems to be this, like, debate as to who was the first one. Because
the first yacht club?
Yeah, and I guess it's if how you look at the definition of a yacht club. The yacht club is supposed to be members, whereas it seems like the Russian version was kind of like, oh, these are my friends, and, like, we are doing this. And at some point when the Tsar died, the club dissolved. And then, like, it wasn't until, like, the 1950s that it kicked back up. So 2 years after this original yacht club was started in Russia, one was opened, I think, started in Ireland. And that one is the one that, like, the International Yacht Club Association, like, sort of, like, points to as the first one.
Yeah, it was the International Yacht Club. They ran out of potatoes, so everybody got on the yacht to the States.
I think the original, and there is nothing that says this, but this is kind of what I picked up on when I read, was that pretty much wherever a boatyard exists, where they're building ships, at some point, and I'm assuming in like the mid to late 1700s is when personal like yachts and stuff like that became a thing. And so from that, it seemed to always be a yacht club associated with a boatyard.
Was it all commercial before that?
It seemed like that was the I didn't spend enough time looking at that specifically, but from what I read very briefly, that's what it kind of pointed me to believe.
Yeah, I think for the Russian guys, it's that like they weren't organizing themselves around yachting. They were organizing themselves around their own friendships and connections.
Right.
And they coincidentally happened to all be like nautical enthusiasts.
Yeah.
Whereas I think yacht clubs is more about, it's less about who you know and more about what you do in common with each other. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the other thing to clarify is like not that personal boats didn't exist before this. It's that these boats were like they existed out of like luxury. Like the other ones were out of a
utility.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. When I think of a yacht, like,
it can't like pull a fishing net.
There's a toilet on it,
right?
Like not a fishing boat, like you pee off the edge. But a yacht, like,
and so that was another thing too, is that I couldn't find anything that really clarified what a yacht truly was.
Right? Yeah.
I read this article from like the 80s that was saying that like the average yacht size for a yacht club, not a sailboat, but a yacht was 24 feet, which seemed extremely small to me.
And that was the average.
That was the average.
Wow.
So
okay, but what's the difference between
that was
a yacht and a sailboat?
Yeah, can a yacht have sails?
I don't know. I actually don't know. But see, that's my point, is that there's no definition. The other thing too is that at some point, yacht clubs were also, there was a yacht club, and then there was like it seemed like there was also a yacht club that was specific for like racing. So it was like all sailboats.
Right, right.
So that's why like that question of like, are you a
powerboater?
Are you a powerboater? Are you sail? What
sailor.
Was it? Sailor.
Sailor.
Yeah. Yeah. That seems to be kind of like a relevant question, because at some point those two things were kind of distinguished. Like, and it made it seem, at least what I was reading, it made it seem like they were divided. Like there was like the members who were like sailors, they stuck to with the sailors. And then the people who were yacht club members or power boaters.
Yeah.
Stuck with the other
power. But there's got to be a hybrid, right? Like
there is. Yeah. Yeah. Sailboats have motors nowadays.
Yeah. When did you say the earliest one was?
Their first one? 1720s? If I remember correctly.
Might have been steam? There's steam. There was steam by then.
Or manpower.
Actually, I don't know if it was applied at that point, right? Yeah, I actually don't really know. Don't know. That's actually a good point.
I'm sure there was steam in the 1700s.
I just don't know. In that application, though, I don't know.
But yeah. And when it got rebooted in the 1930s, you said? Was it?
1960s, maybe?
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
There was like a 300 or 200-year gap in the existence of this yacht club. So
it's kind of a relatively new thing since the 60s.
What?
Yacht clubs.
No, I'm sorry. That Russian one is like it.
Oh, that specific club.
I'm sorry. There are U.S.-based ones that started in the 1800s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria.
In the 1800s?
Before that. That was the foundation, and then in the 1800s, they picked it up, and they were like, yeah.
So from this same
let's yacht.
1980s article that I read, it was talking about a couple of yacht clubs that are in like the LA area, and then they were pointing out to some of the, like, I think the first yacht club in the US was either, it was in New York or it was very similar timing. There was one in New York and then there was one in like Michigan. Cause also I should also say yacht clubs don't have to be on the ocean. There are river and lake yacht clubs.
What?
Yes.
You can't have a yacht.
I think so. Yeah. There's luxury yachts.
A lot of them are like, say for example, Portland. I don't remember if Portland actually has one, but Portland has the Columbia River, which is a huge body of water. Mm-hmm. They could have a yacht club I guess it's not that strange because they are almost on the coast.
Yeah.
So
I would imagine like Mississippi or something, they're going to have.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Like luxury river boats.
Mississippi had the first yacht club in America, 1839.
What was that?
1839, Mississippi had the first yacht club, Detroit Boat Club.
Oh, and see, that's where I don't think I ever looked to see. Yeah, that makes sense. Because I thought Michigan, Detroit.
Huh.
Sorry, Michigan, not Mississippi.
Okay. That was my next question. Like, there's a Detroit,
Mississippi.
There was MI instead of MS. And I didn't look at the name of the club before I started to speak.
But
1839 though.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, 1839. So the whole reason why I was bringing that up, that I was interested in this article, was that it was talking about a lot of these yacht clubs having like sections where like women weren't allowed, and like they had like smoking rooms or like cigar rooms and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they were saying as of like I think this article was published in like 1989 or something like that, and they were saying that still existed, and I was pretty like, I don't know, kind of mind blown at that point. I'm sure that probably doesn't exist at this point.
I don't think you can make it like official. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
It might be culturally enforced at whatever yacht club. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's definitely against the law to do something like that, like in your charter or whatever.
Is it?
I think so. Yeah. Gender is a protected class, and you can't make any kind of discriminations.
But any private group could have any private rule.
No, you can't. No? You can't. You can't be a private company and say I'm not going to hire women.
That's your decision.
No,
it's not your decision anymore.
I'm just saying what it is. I'm not saying I agree or disagree with it. But protected classes, you can't discriminate against.
I am uneducated in.
Yeah, I think it's race, gender. And is religion even one?
Religion's probably one, and then also, I don't know what the probably more PC version is, but like disabled, I think that's another protected
handicap.
Yeah. Yeah, the handicap. Oh, I actually think that's worse. I actually don't know though.
To say handicap?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's called handicap parking.
Yeah, could be disabled parking. I don't know. I'm joking. I don't know.
You're probably right. It's probably disabled.
But the yacht clubs, they're pretty, I think, culturally filtering. Because like Patrick was saying, it's incredibly masculine when you go in there. You go into this entryway, which is, it's kind of funny sometimes.
I would also say it's very white.
Yeah. They have people who are greeters. It's like Walmart, but much nicer.
where they're at this like high top table with a white tablecloth, and their job is to sit there in blue blazers, drink wine, and say good evening to whatever patron comes by.
Oh, sign me up. Pay me for that.
Great. It's great. And then you go up this staircase, of which one of the stairs has a brass plaque that says members only. And then on your right is this collage of all the former Commodores. And it's their black and white portraits.
All white elderly men with very great facial hair.
Awesome. Yes. Like some of the best facial hair you've ever seen.
Yes.
Especially the woman that's your Commodore now.
Yeah, her mustache was the curliest. So you go
the greatest mustachioed woman I've ever seen.
She's not up there yet.
I think because
you get a posthumous
picture. I actually
don't know
if she's the first female Commodore at this club,
but she's the best.
But her picture is not
the most recent.
Yeah, she is not in that.
They're probably posthumous pictures.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Maybe only dead Commodores get their pictures up.
No, because I think this past week when we were there,
somebody died.
I saw someone that was on that wall.
Oh.
Not their corpse.
Yeah, he looked really similar. You're right. Yeah. But
I don't know.
Again,
you're right. I don't know.
That was the most like stereotypic like sailor features ever. He had this pointed out mustache and like a very full
like Ahab
beard. Exactly. Yeah. It's like, hey, he looks like him. I was like, yeah, he probably looks like half a dozen other people in the room right now.
Yeah.
So you walk by this like wall of inspiration as you're going up to the upper bar area, and then we go out onto the patio, which overlooks the marina, and sometimes when we're there, there's like tall ships doing fake cannon battles with each other. They're just they're shooting smoke at each other.
You're like in the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Amazing.
One of the first times we went, it was like I think it's called the Tall Ships Festival, and it's like pretty much all the tall ships from San Diego.
What defines a tall ship?
A type.
That's what you think of like a pirate ship.
Okay.
It's a multiple mast.
Okay.
Yes. And so all the tall ships in pretty much Southern California come out to the waters outside of Dana Point.
They do maneuvers.
They do all these maneuvers, yeah.
And vape at each other.
And a lot of they're like solid.
It booms.
Yeah. It definitely like the
It's a full powder charge, there's no projectile.
Yeah, exactly.
Blank cannons.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's definitely on the level of loudness where you're definitely seeing it happen before you actually end up.
And you're like
it.
Surprised. You're just like, pah!
Yeah.
You feel it too?
And your Mai Tai like just vibrates weirdly. Whoa, what's going on? So it's just amazing. I don't know if I've sold you on it or not yet, but it's one of the greatest.
I'm not
places
unsold.
On Earth. Yeah.
I mean, it's
I'm
just
not
a really
off.
Good. I think to your guys' point of the cabin, it sounds very much like that. Like there, you have all the things you need in a very, very small very confined area.
I go in the front door and it's this mixture of excitement and relaxation, which seem contradictory, but anyone who's been to the cabin knows it's just like
we've also spent zero time inside. We've always been on like the patio because it's always been
so
beautiful weather, and you're looking over the Dana Point headlands and
so if you want to hunt down Patrick, he's given all of the details.
Dukes Fire in San Clemente, Dana Point Yacht Club, or Dana Point Canoe Club.
Put all those red lines together.
Yes.
You'll find Patrick.
Find me on the interwebs.
All right. Well, I think we should wrap this up.
Before we do, you have anything to plug besides the Yacht Club and your salsa?
A plug?
Your hot sauce?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man. I don't think I have... I guess surfboard. If you really... If it makes me...
Nobody's going to listen to this, so...
Until Jeff goes straight to our CEO's office and tells him that I'm a fucking piece
you know
of
the
shit.
Shit I've said in this podcast. You have no idea. we're both fucked. If anyone hears this, you have nothing to worry about. Okay, so you have nothing to plug.
I don't, unless you really want to try my hot sauce. It's at Beach Fire in San Clemente.
Is it there right now?
It'll be there as of this week, and there will be a
kickoff.
Well,
this is not
going to
come out for like 2 months, so.
Okay, well, by the time this comes out.
Like in February, is it going to be there?
Yes, it will.
Okay, well, go check it out.
February 2019.
And I will bring some for you guys if I'm ever invited back.
Hell yeah.
Well, we'll figure out whether or not you're invited back.
Yeah, it's fun. Actually, I wasn't sure how talkative I would be, because I'm usually a pretty quiet person. I don't talk very
well.
Much.
I mean,
Jeff does do a good job of getting me to talk, though. I opened up very quickly.
It's car batteries to the nipples.
You were
talk.
You're one of few people that I opened up quickly to.
You did strike me as a listener. Like, you returned every question. Like, what about you guys?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I am definitely a listener. Yeah. I think my normal setting would have been me just, like, sitting here listening to you guys talk.
Just taking it in.
And, like, taking notes.
Dick. Yeah, but like yes. a dick.
In my mouth, though.
Yeah. Not your ear. Well, I mean, depends on your ear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Do we have an outro song?
My left ear. I have something nautical.
Nautical? Nautical.
All right.
This is what I always listen on my way to the yacht club.
Well, that was Patrick. That was Jeff. I'm Ryan. And, shit, this was unnecessary. But I'd rather live my life in rags than be chained to a desk with a wife that's a hag. We live each day like there's nothing to lose, but a man has needs, and that need is booze. This is not a best things in life are free.